And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard. This is episode number 174, coming at you, as always, from beautiful Chicago, Illinois. We're a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network, and we are now available on Stitcher, in addition to iTunes. And, of course, if you want to go back and listen to all of our shows, you can go to our website, which is radiofreeasgard.com. Okay, so a couple bits and pieces. We had another offer from C2E2 to do another like endorsement deal this year. Unfortunately, it does appear that we won't be exhibiting at C2E2 this year, and that's because C2E2 is not offering podcasters table space this year. So I've had a good think about it. I'll be honest, it's something that I strongly considered. You know, do I want to, you know, kind of cash in and get, you know, free tickets or whatever. And to me, I don't think that the time that would spend in plugging C2E2 would really be worth even getting a weekend pass. You know, it just, to me, it's just kind of weird. So unless they change their mind, it looks like we won't be exhibiting at C2E2 this year. However, I am planning on attending the show. So if any listeners are attending C2E2 this year, feel free to get in contact with us. You know, we have the email address, which is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. And you can also find us on the Facebook group, and we can set something up, some kind of a meet and greet for listeners of the show if that comes to pass. And I really would like to see people. I really would like to get together with listeners if they happen to be in Chicago. I think C2E2 is in March or April again. I'm not really sure. Oh, wait, hold on. No, I have the information. C2E2 is the weekend of April 24th through the 26th. It does, at this juncture at least, look as though we're not going to be participating as an exhibitor. And maybe next year, if they decide to change the policy again and are willing to have a deal for a table, then we'll think about that. I don't know that it really did a lot of good for the show last year, but it was interesting. You know, it was interesting being a part of the convention as an exhibitor, as opposed to simply being a face in the crowd. And that's basically where we are this year. So anyway, hopefully we can get something together. People wanting to have a gathering at the show. We'll talk about that more as we get closer to it. You know, obviously it's still a long way off in terms of real time. All right, so this week we are covering the end of an era, folks. Yeah, we've covered a lot of stuff on this show, but this is really the end of an era. Probably the most influential era of Thor, even when you include stuff like the Simonson run, which of course you all know I'm a huge fan of. But this is the last Lee Kirby issue. It's not the end of the story, but it is the last time that we have Stan Lee and Jack Kirby working together on this comic. We have, you know, two more parts of the story. They're written by Stan Lee and drawn by Neil Adams. But for all intents and purposes, this completes the Silver Age of Thor. And we move on into the Bronze Age. And I really have mixed feelings about that. Now, we're going to do a retrospective show. It's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be in the next couple of episodes. I want to wrap up this story, and I want to do another couple of things. But we are going to cover, have like a retrospective of the entire Lee Kirby run, and just kind of give my general impressions and thoughts. Now, if any of you want to participate in that show, then please feel free to do so. You know, we did a call for the Simonson show. We had a couple people who had, you know, emailed comments in. So feel free. You can post them to our Facebook group. You can email to us or whatever. I'd like to hear what people have to say about the Lee Kirby run and what they think of it. Obviously, the very foundation of everything that followed. But I'd be interested to hear what other people think. So feel free to let us know. All right, and with that, let's just go ahead and start our coverage and move on to our review.
Cross the Rainbow Bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, Mighty Thor.
And this week we are looking at the Mighty Thor number 179. Has a cover date of August 1970, retailed for 15 cents. Cover art is by Neil Adams, inked by Joe Sinnott. Beautiful cover here of Thor, and it appears he's being attacked by Baldur the Brave and the Lady Sif, and Baldur shouting out, "Thunder God or not, 'tis time to die." Sif says, "This time there can be no escape." Baldur, "Sif, if ye have turned on me, then truly Thor is lost." And the cover blurb says, "A hell on earth is created by evil Loki. Thou shalt not miss it." And we open up to the splash page where we have the title of the story, "No More the Thunder God," featuring the terrible vengeance of Loki. It's not that terrible. And we have the credits, of course. Stan Lee and Jack Kirby produced this comic. Embellishment by Vince Coletta and letters by Sam Rosen. Beneath the gigantic Statue of Heroes ride the victorious legions of Asgard, led by the mighty God of Thunder, Thor, son of Odin. So yeah, if you remember, they fought the armies of Loki and, of course, the evil fire god Surtur last issue. And everybody's coming back to the ruined city. So we have, Thor and he's looking at the ruins. "What a grievous price Asgard hath paid to fell the fiery Surtur. But ye have battled long, and ye have battled hard, and so to thee I say, well done! Now I must go to greet my liege, and hope to spy within his court the one I love so well, the proudest of the proud, the fairest of the fair. She is my love, she is my lady, she is the stunning Sif." And as he says that, who should be standing in front of him? Then, the Lady Sif herself. And she's like, "Lord of my heart, I greet thee. But why art thou so grim and unsmiling?" "My heart is heavy, lady, and 'tis for want of thee. My father hath summoned me, and I fear a mission doth await the God of Thunder."
"Then this may be goodbye, beloved."
And we hear a voice coming from off screen as Thor kind of grabs Sif and gives her a little bit of a cuddle.
"What? Darest thou to tarry when thy liege hath summoned thee?"
"Father,
now bend thy knees, for ye be in the presence."
And so Sif and Thor both bow. "All homage to the true Lord of Asgard," says Thor.
"Now rise ye both and hear the words of Odin."
And what the words of Odin are, we don't know, because we shift scenes here. We are back on Earth, and you remember Loki and his evil assistant wizard dude have escaped to Earth, and this wizard dude seems to have no fingernails. And maybe that's just because he's a wizard and he has to stir potions with his fingers or something and they dissolve his fingernails. That's my explanation for no prize. And Loki is dressed in this sort of Hugh Hefner-ish kind of dressing gown and looks like they're in a nice hotel room.
"Aigron, is the potion ready?"
Wait a minute. Now, I thought Aigron was still in Asgard. Didn't Baldur and Sif go see Aigron when they rescued Odin from the universe of darkness? So what's he doing on Earth with Loki? Are there two Aigrons? That's interesting. It could also be that Stan Lee goofed, but that's been known to happen.
"Aye, my lord, the time is come. The enchantment is now completed."
And Aigron is pouring some kind of gray liquid from a flask into this iron box-looking thing.
"Then stand aside, magician," says Loki.
And then a door swings open, and we have it looks like the concierge of the hotel. He's dressed in a tuxedo, and we have a bellhop in a pink and purple outfit, very, very Nelly, and a waiter kind of carting in room service. It looks a little bit like an older version of Charlie Brown.
"Your dinner, sir," says the maitre d', "prepared exactly as you'd ordered."
"Naturally," says Loki. I am prepared to pay for perfection, and that is what I expect.
Certainly, sir, certainly.
Do not bother leaving me the check to sign. I have no time for such petty trifles, since money is totally meaningless to one such as me. Take this and be gone.
And Loki uses a little bit of hand magic and conjures up a big handful of money. And the maitre d' looks really surprised by this.
And know you, I am to be disturbed no more.
And he closes the door, and the bellhop is looking like, why am I not getting a tip? And they close the door. And we get a really creepy close-up of Loki's face, and Loki is explaining,
when we are gone, the money too will vanish, like the trifling illusion that it was. And now, Igron, to work once more.
And they promptly forget their food as Igron continues working on this iron box thing.
The mask! The mask! Our time grows short, magician! Fear not, my lord. By the time the God of Thunder finds thee, all will be ready for him. And Loki shall score his greatest triumph!
And there's this big explosion of Kirby crackle and red smoke billowing up, and it must be ruining that desk that they've got this thing set on. Anyway, we then shift scenes back to Asgard, and we're back with Thor, Sif, and Odin. And Odin's giving them the lowdown here.
Thy half-brother Loki hath hidden himself upon the planet Earth, but he hath much to answer for, so thou shalt bring him hither.
Then that is thy mission, sire? Thou art sending me to Earth?
I know thine heart is here with the Lady Sif. A god thou art, and first must thou serve the mistress duty.
Odin hath spoke, so be it.
And he waves his hand, and there's like a blast of magic bolt or whatever, and it envelops Thor in this kind of fire. And we see Thor being whisked to Earth, kind of in a white comet sort of thing, and flying, of course, through Kirby space, where, you know, it looks like Earth has about 10 billion moons. And we get a very misshapen set of continents here, including a really large island in the South Pacific that, I mean, it must be Lemuria or something. I don't know. Anyway, and Alaska is really malformed anyway. And most of Canada is missing. So, yeah, it's not exactly a great map.
Wherever my evil brother hides, he shall not escape the wrath of Thor, says Thor.
And he arrives on Earth, and he is whipping his hammer around so he can fly. And he lands on a rooftop in New York City. And he's thinking, perhaps 'twere best to take him unawares. If he expects the God of Thunder's pursuit, perhaps the quiet lame Dr. Blake will have a better chance to find him. And Thor bangs his hammer on the ground, and he changes back into the lame Dr. Blake.
At any rate, if Loki should be watching.
It turns out that Loki is watching, because apparently Loki knew exactly where Thor would land when he came to Earth, and he's looking through a pair of binoculars at Don Blake.
Just as I expected, says Loki. He has changed into his earthly form.
Then all that remains is the final step, says Igron.
That is true. Your work is finished. I have served thee faithfully, my prince, in hope of great reward. Of course, says Loki. Get thee to the trolls in Asgard. There you'll slave for them digging in their dungeons.
And he waves his hand, and a big puff of smoke, and Igron is gone.
Ha! Thus does Loki grant reward.
And he kind of comes back into the hotel room, and there's this big jar. And floating in the jar is it's a mask of some kind. It's just some sort of gloppy, liquidy looking mask thing.
Ah, the mask still floats within its vial, seething as with a life that is all its own. And now there is no further need for illusion, so Loki shall stand at last revealed, ready to crush the God of Thunder.
And he does a kind of a magic gesture, and he changes into his Loki outfit, which in this instance actually looks like this weird takeoff of Thor's outfit. It's got like the same four disc things on the front, and he's wearing this really girly kind of, I don't know, skirt thing. And it's actually not Loki's best costume, I have to say. And of course, what does Loki do? He takes off through the streets of New York City wearing this. And he's kind of wandering through the streets, and it doesn't look like he's walking in the road. But then again, he's Loki, not Thor. And everyone's staring at him.
"Let the humans gape and stare," he's saying out loud. "None have the courage or power to stop me, and none would wish to become involved."
And he's going to the building where Dr. Blake has his office, and he's thinking to himself,
"My very presence causes them unease, a fitting tribute to the essence of my evil. And now to face my victim," he says out loud as he approaches Dr. Blake's office.
And apparently Dr. Blake heard him because he kind of opens the door and Thor is standing there. And Loki's thinking to himself,
"I will attack before he can become the God of Thunder."
And he bursts through the door.
"Blake, where are you?"
And Thor is standing there.
"Thor!
Instinct to find me unprepared, conniving one," says Thor. "I guess thou wouldst have spied on me and seen me change to mortal form. And so I waited, and waited not in vain. Now I take thee back to Asgard to answer for thy crimes."
"Not yet, alas, not yet. Not while I have the living mask."
And he pulls this box that he's been carrying out. It's this kind of flat orange box, like a pizza box. And he flips it open, and this mask thing that we saw, the kind of gray, floppy claw thing, it leaps at Thor's face and attaches itself. And Thor's trying to rip it off his face, and no luck.
"Try as thou may, thou canst not remove it. Not all thine awesome strength can lessen its enchantment. And now even consciousness doth leave thee. And all that remains is mystic living energy."
And so Thor is being, I don't know, suffocated or whatever by this mask thing. And then we see the energy burst is kind of coming off of the living mask and hitting Loki in the face.
"Energy which doth envelop both of our faces, as it is meant to do. Until at last the grim tableau is ended and the battle won."
It's a weird picture here of Loki and Thor. And Thor's laying on the ground, and where his head's supposed to be is just like billows of smoke. And Loki is kind of kneeling next to him, and he's got the same thing going on. So there's a bunch of like smoke billowing out of his neck.
"And now the mask may be removed," says Loki.
And he goes and pulls the cloth off of Thor's face. And we see that Thor's face looks different. In fact, his face has been changed into that of the evil Loki.
"And now the mask may be removed, for the face beneath is changed. Thunder God, I bid thee wake."
And Thor wakes up, and he looks like Loki.
"What sinister sorcery hast thou now performed?"
"A trifling matter, really. I have exchanged our faces."
And we get a look at Loki, and it is true. He now has not only Thor's face, but Thor's hair as well. So, yeah. So the two of them have changed faces and hair. And Loki is gloating and says,
"Now thou art Loki, and Loki Thor, or so the world shall think."
"I say thee never," says Thor,
and he reaches for Mjolnir. But he can't lift the hammer anymore. He's no longer worthy. So that's not the first time that's happened, folks.
"My hammer! I can lift it no longer."
"Well doth Loki know. For with thy features I have also obtained thy power."
And Loki summons the hammer to himself, and he takes his fist and he punches Thor right in the face, right in his Loki face.
"Not only the evil, but now the strength as well as mine."
And pounds Thor, knocks him out.
"Thus all that remains is to transfer clothes with thee. And evil Loki now becomes, in fact, as well as fancy, mighty Thor, the God of Thunder."
And so he strips his clothes off. Oh my. And he becomes Thor. We then shift scenes and we are back in Asgard at the bedside of the brave Baldur, who is still mending from having gone off into that weird dimension to rescue Odin. And there's a bunch of like doctors and shit hanging around Baldur's bed, and they're all yakking here.
"'Twas the omnipotent hand of lordly Odin that brings thee healing."
"And well hath Baldur merited such reward."
"'Twas thou who fetched our sovereign from the distant realm of death."
"Aye, ever shall minstrels sing of Baldur's endless glory."
And Baldur is getting bored by this talk. "I pray that they soon leave," he's thinking, "for I have a task to do."
Good lords, depart, I prithee, for I am weary and would fain rest.
We respect thy wishes, noble one. Hail to thee, brave Baldur.
Now by thy leave, we go.
And they go wandering off, and Baldur is kind of waiting around for them to leave. He's thinking to himself, at last, I am alone. Now I can follow the urgings of my sorely troubled heart, for I sense the danger stalks the Thunder God. And if he be truly threatened, let Baldur's sword be at his side. And we see Baldur's getting dressed and ready to go. And it's weird because we now have a page where the art style has completely changed. And I'll talk about this a little bit later.
Baldur, thou art afoot, but still shouldst thou be resting.
Not so, milady, says Baldur. I fly to serve my prince.
Then you too feel that the mighty Thor hath need of those who love him best?
Aye, fair Sif. I should have known that thou would sense it too. Whate'er the need, the son of Odin shall not find us wanting.
He hath been sent to planet Earth in search of evil Loki. But hold, my lord. Dare we leave without the royal command?
What? Wouldst thou stay if Thor may be in danger?
Thou knowest well my answer. We leave together to serve the god of thunder. Whate'er befalls, we two shall stand as one.
For him who hath never failed to stand for truth and justice, says Baldur. And we then shift scenes back to Earth, where we have Thor, a.k.a. Loki, waking up. And now I can only assume at this point that the spell, in addition to changing Thor's face and hair, has also changed his voice as well. So this might get a little bit confusing.
I wake, as from a savage dream. But it all seems different, all seems strange. And there before me in the mirror, whose grim visage do I see? The face, the clothes, cannot belong to Thor. No dream is this, but awesome fact. To all the world I be the evil Loki.
And we then see the Ajax White Tornado forming within the room and got a big glow. And Thor Loki is looking around.
What now? Doth he return to gloat in triumph?
No, 'tis Baldur and my lady Sif.
Then still doth hope remain.
And the two of them appear, and of course they immediately mistake him for Loki because he looks like Loki, sounds like Loki, and is dressed like Loki.
Prince of Evil, stand thee back, says Baldur. What hast thou done with Thor?
He hath a look of madness upon his face, says Sif.
Hear me, Baldur, sheathe thy sword.
We'll not be swayed by thy cunning wiles, and Baldur slaps Loki across the face of, Loki Thor.
Now speak, or face my blade. Dost thou not know me? 'Tis I, the god of thunder. I am victim of Loki's mad bewitchment.
I'll hear no more, says Baldur. Where hast thou hidden Thor? And he knocks Thor Loki down, and gonna call him Thoki or something. Thoki or War or whatever, I don't know. He knocks the Loki Thor down.
Art thou now bereft of reason? If my words cannot sway thee, mayhap my power will. I be Thor, the son of Odin, prince of the blood and thunder god.
And he is tussling with Baldur, and he's trying to hold him down.
He's mad, says Sif. We must take no further chances.
And she's getting ready to slap him in the head with a sword.
My lady Sif, not you. Not you! You dare profane the name of Thor by mouthing it through Loki's lips. If I cannot convince thee, then surely all is lost. 'Twas Loki's doing. He changed my face with his. How can I prove it? What must I say?
And he's kind of shaking Sif, trying to get an answer from her. And Baldur responds belligerently, of course.
Take thy craven hands from her. Is there no limit to thy base villainy?
And we shift scenes to where Loki Thor is watching the battle take place on his little portable cosmic voyeuroscope laptop thing. And he's like, never have I so enjoyed a battle. Never will the outcome please me more. All I need to do is let them battle until the very death, and I shall plunder all of Earth in the name of the God of Thunder. Where Thor did protect, Loki shall enslave. Where Thor would fight for freedom, Loki shall strike for tyranny. All of Earth shall fall beneath my heel. But whatever evil I may do, the blame shall fall on Thor. So let them fight and let them die. we shift scenes then back to the fight between Baldur and Loki Thor. And he's like, "Villain, what hast thou done to Thor?
'Tis him you fight, 'tis him you strike, 'tis him you seek to crush."
"Dost thou take me for a fool?" says Baldur. "Thinkest thou I know not the god of thunder?"
"'Tis useless. My words are spoke to no avail. All that is left to me now is flight."
And Loki Thor is running away. He's hiding behind this big billboard. "There is no place that thou canst hide where Baldur cannot find thee." And Loki Thor is thinking to himself, "I must needs end the battle ere one of us be slain. Then let me use Loki's own evil power to drain voltage from yon electric sign, and now to stun this pursuing Baldur." And he's kind of drawing electricity from the sign, but instead he's drawing down lightning from the sky. We have this big explosion of red Kirby crackle, and he's shouting,
"Too much! The power being new to me, I could not control it well."
And has knocked Baldur unconscious. And Loki Thor says,
"Baldur, I pray I have not injured thee. He had been wounded but a short time ago, and now I cause him this. Though weak and weary, he did come to earth to aid the Thunder God, but now he lies unmoving. Perfidious Loki, by the golden gates of Asgard, this I do swear, thou shalt pay in kind for this dread day."
And he's all mopey now, and Sif comes up behind him.
"Baldur hath fallen, and 'twas by my hand. Oh, woe, oh, matchless woe." "But see, he doth recover," says Sif.
And Baldur is getting up. "I live. He did not slay me. Loki would have slain, then fled. Mayhap 'twas more than madness in thy words. Mayhap the time has come for speaking."
"Oh, it be praised," says Thor Loki. "There still is hope. There still is hope."
Next issue, When Gods Go Mad. And that is Thor number 179. And we'll be talking about it after this.
The dawn of an age. The founding of a family.
You know we haven't done enough research into the effects of cosmic rays.
We've got to take that chance.
Conditions are right tonight. Let's go.
They're penetrating the ship. Our shielding isn't strong enough.
I feel like I'm burning up.
Too heavy. Can't move.
Too heavy.
We're all alive.
I feel so strange.
You're fading away. I can't see you at all anymore.
Look what's happened to you. You're changing.
Oh, Reed, not you too.
What happened to me? To all of us?
I can fly.
We gotta use that power to help mankind, right?
And so was born the Fantastic Four.
For soon the Mole Man will have the entire world in his power.
I am the mightiest living mortal on Earth. And now mankind shall feel that might.
The Fantastic Four. Little do they dream they're the palms in the hands of Dr. Doom.
Human Torch will be the Puppet Master's next victim.
You Earthlings can't change the way I can. That means I'm the most powerful person on Earth.
I've been expecting you, for I am the Thinker.
I vow never to return, my lord, until the Fantastic Four are no more and the planet Earth is no more.
You're in the presence of the awesome Ralatons, King of Kings, Master of Men, and Lord of the Seven Suns.
You're just a muscular freak. Blind the Hulk.
Stop! You must not enter the castle of Diablo.
My journey has ended. This planet shall sustain me until it has been drained of all elemental life. So speaks Galactus.
Flame on!
It's clobbering time!
The Fantastic Four, from the very beginning, witnessed the origins of a legend. The Fantastic Forecast. ffcast.libsyn.com.
And we are back. So compared to the last three or four issues that we had before this one, this is a fairly solid issue. It's certainly better than the Abomination that we had last issue, but there are a number of problems with the issue. Most notably, this is a plot we've seen before. We actually had the, you know, Loki stealing Thor's pace before, though that was back in the Journey into Mystery days a long time ago. And this is just sort of an extended version of that. And as we'll see, this goes on for another couple issues. But by and large, this is a much more solid effort from both Stan and Jack as we cover this last issue of the Lee Kirby run. Some very strange things going on with the art here. Obviously, Kirby was doing rough layouts and Vinnie Coletta was embellishing them. But there's this one page, and I kind of pointed to it while we were reading the story, that is in a completely different style. It looks to me like this page was inked by somebody completely different. Maybe by Joe Sinnott, maybe by, I don't know, Bill Everett. It does not appear to have been inked by Vinnie Coletta. For one thing, the line work is much too thick. And I'm kind of curious as to what exactly happened here. It could have been a redraw, you know, maybe there was a problem, maybe the story wasn't flowing properly, and you know, so they just kind of threw this page in. But it's really strange that it is such a contrast in the inking from everything else in the issue. So it really stands out as the result of that. We also have a face here that one of Baldur's faces is panel 2. This is page 14, by the way. It doesn't look like a Jack Kirby face at all. And so I really don't know what's going on. So you definitely can see some real, I don't know if I'd call it laziness, but there's some weird differences in the artwork on some of these pages compared to other pages that we've seen. Page 18 also looks like it wasn't inked by Vinnie Coletta. Now, I could be wrong about that. Maybe Coletta did do it. But for some reason, these pages have a much cleaner line than what we're used to seeing from Coletta. And where we have blank space, it looks different from what we have when we have Coletta doing it. It's just weird. And we have this panel of Thor, panel 4 on page 18. We just have the weirdest stretched out face that I've ever seen Jack Kirby draw. So obviously this is a page that was done in a real hurry. This is obviously Jack's last issue. I'm sure he knew it was his last issue. And maybe he just wanted it done with. I don't know. But you know, by and large, the artwork is better than what we've seen from Jack recently. Even with Coletta's inks, it seems to be a little bit better. And Stan's dialogue is even a little bit better. You know, despite the kind of hackneyed plot, it's better than anything we've seen, again, recently. Dialogue-wise, there is a lot of Jack here. It's not all Jack, but there is a lot of Jack in this issue as far as the dialogue. I'm sure that could not have been lost on Jack, but there are a lot of Stan Lee touches as well. You know, Stan has this tendency to make people yammer on, and we definitely have that with both Loki and Thor in this issue. But by and large, it came to a fairly satisfying head. We have this sort of weird battle between Loki, Thor, and Baldur at the end where Baldur gets knocked out. And in typical Marvel fashion, they have to fight and then they talk. And that's just kind of the way it works in the Marvel Universe. So a little bit more of a bang than a whimper going out here in the last Lee Kirby issue. But still not up to the truly golden standard that they had set for themselves. So in a way, it's a little bit of a disappointing. And at this point, I'm almost happy to see the two of them leave the book. Though Stan Lee is going to be sticking around for a little while, this is the last that we'll see of Jack Kirby on the book. All right. And with that, it is time to wrap up the show. Once again, folks, thanks very much for listening. We really do appreciate it. And once again, if you want to participate in our retrospective of the Lee Kirby era, please feel free to shoot me a line. I'd be more than happy to include your comments in the show. What I'm not particularly interested in, we can talk about it a little bit, but as far as the division of labor between Stan and Jack, let's try to keep that to a minimum and just talk more about the material. But anyway, that's just a suggestion on my part. You can just kind of talk about whatever you want, and I'll read it out in the show. And with that, I am sliding back down the Rainbow Bridge. Yeah, it's a big old water slide. Yeah, being rainbow, it's all made of water. And it's in the giant water park we call the universe. And sliding back to Midgard. And we'll see you next time here on Radio Free Asgard. You have been listening to Radio Free Asgard, a production of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all associated characters are mostly copyright Marvel Comics. The stories presented are done so for educational, review, and entertainment purposes only. No ownership is implied. The silly voices, however, well, they're all me. Musical selections from Eden, The Invincible Sword of the Elvesmith, are copyright Mott's Vent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll leave us a review on iTunes, tell your friends, or even join our Facebook group. We really love hearing from our listeners, and we appreciate all of your support. Thanks once again very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.